It's Andy, and welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. Now we know what the league is going to look like as part of 2.0. And before we start, just want to thank everybody that's been associated with Team Bath and Surrey Storm. Amazing teams, amazing history. Thank you for everything you've done for the league over the years. Well, this morning, Tamsin Greenway was joined by Claire Nelson, MD of the Netball Super League, on Sky Sports News. And Claire explained more about what the league's going to look like from next season.
We've been talking about this for 4 years, and here we are today announcing the clubs that are going to be part of the future with us. The tender process that we've been through over the last 9 months has been huge, really challenging. And obviously it's a difficult day for many who will be, you know, we're exiting clubs through this process. Yeah. But what we've got are 8 fantastically strong clubs, some new investors, some brand new models coming in from football. And we believe we've got the infrastructure to really drive our sport forward.
And a new role for you as well, Tamsin. So you're going to be the director of netball for one of the rebranded sides, London Mavericks. I mean, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic. Obviously, Claire's talked about this sort of new process and how clubs have come to the forefront and what we're trying to push as new franchises and clubs. And London Mavericks taking that role on with female investors wanting to do things bigger and better than ever before. I've been involved in what was Saracens Mavericks for the last couple of years as a consultancy and strategic role, and now it's kind of get your hands dirty and be at the forefront of building something that I believe is truly special and something we've been wanting to do for such a long time, and now is the right time to do it.
I mean, the big headline in terms of the new clubs in the league are Nottingham Forest Netball, which will be owned and managed by the Premier League football team. How did this come about, and actually what does this mean to the league, and do you think others might actually follow suit?
Yeah, so this actually came to us relatively late in the process. Okay. But it, I mean, if you look at you know, their owner Evangelos Marinakis, he operates a multi-sport model with Olympiakos, who just actually, I was delighted to see that they were successful last night in Europe. But he did a vision for the city quite recently. He had the Prime Minister there, and he talked about wanting to use sport and his brand to be able to reach communities. They're all about inclusion. And so when this was presented to them as a proposition, he thought, we're bought into the vision, we'll play every single game at Motorpoint Arena, we will create a thriving, successful, elite proposition on the court, but we will also use that to leverage engagement across communities and to get more people active and to empower women and girls through sport. So I love what they're bringing, but I also love the doors that this is going to open, because the eyeballs that are on Nottingham Forest, on football, well, hopefully some of those eyeballs are going to turn to our sport now.
I mean, when we talk about your sport, obviously, Tamsin, you've been playing and coaching for years, but does that Premier League involvement, what does that tell you about how far netball's come?
Huge. And we know the involvement is massive for pushing our sport forward. And this has to be sustainable. This has to be about clubs that have to invest heavily, that want to take games to big arenas, that want to build even more of a fan base, that want performance forefront and centre, that are going to be paying players differently to something we've never had done before. And I think that was so important about this. So although there'll be some initial disappointment, the actual sport is going to be thriving with some of these investors. And I think that was key to make sure we got the right partnerships moving forward. And, you know, I'll be gutted about some of the clubs exiting. I have huge, you know, personal relationship to many of those. However, the sport as a whole is in such a good place, and this, you know, we've got to go. This is so exciting, this is so big, this is so huge for our sport, and something that needed to desperately happen.
And picking up on the clubs exiting, and you talked about it needing to be sustainable with the clubs leaving, explain how that was decided then.
So everyone went through a tender process, and part of that tender process was existing clubs actually assessing whether they could meet the new standards. So we set out with expected operating standards. We know we've got lots of different models in there, but, you know, we needed to drive advancements and enhancements on and off the court. So really looking at investment levels, infrastructure, arenas, programme. So there were, you know, it was a huge piece of work that clubs had to do to determine whether they were able to meet them moving forward. And ultimately, not all clubs who are with us at the moment could do that. So we've, you know, we keep saying it's difficult decisions, but we have to make the right decisions. We have to, we're doing this on our own. Like, we are women's sport. We do not have somebody writing the huge checks. So this is about us working really smart to get our product right. We talk transformational, but sustainable. And so through these clubs, as T said, we can build a great fantainment product that is going to drive the commercial value of our sport and allow us to reinvest back as we go on this journey.
I mean, we talk about investment and we've talked about the Premier League interest, but what about also the female investors getting involved? I mean, what is it? It seems silly to say what is it they found attractive, because obviously there's so many things, but talk to us about the kind of their involvement and getting behind the sport.
Yeah, well, finally, to talk about investing into women's sport is a credible conversation, and that's taken a really long time. What we've had to work through is that measuring success in female sports has to be done through a different lens. Like, we don't have the same ROI, but that impact is huge. And also, where we are in our journey and the projected value of women's sport in the future, it's a great investment. I've always said I want more females, I want more women getting behind either writing the checks or sitting on the boards and influencing sport. You know, that's where we really make change. So through this, we've got obviously Lucy Ray and Olivia Hall taking on London Mavericks, which is fantastic. We've got Alison backing Birmingham Panthers, bringing new investors and driving a huge vision for the West Midlands. And so across all of this, we've got real powerhouse women bringing money and investment into our sport and creating more careers off the court as well. Because I've always said the reason why women's sport isn't where it is because we haven't operated it like businesses. We run sports. We are coaches and communities. Men's sport is run like business. So the more we can enhance the business acumen, skills and expertise around our clubs and our sport, the quicker we can grow.
I mean, it will grow, as will player salaries as well. They'll increase significantly. Squad sizes as well are going to be capped at 10. So actually talent will be spread across the league. That's quite interesting. Explain what it all means to the player then.
This is huge news to the player as well. I mean, I come it from a performance angle, and one of the things I wanted to see was less teams and smaller squad sizes, purely because you will disperse that talent. You are now going to have the best of the best playing. We're going to be challenging the likes of SSN to be one of the best leagues in the world. You know, for the first time ever, we don't have as many of our full-time England Roses overseas. They're here. Yeah. They're going to be playing in huge arenas for our fan base, which is incredible. That's who the kids want to see. They're the players you inspire and you want to be like as you grow up. So that is going to be absolutely huge. The salaries are going to increase. I think it's 60%. Up on the average salary, and the minimum salary is almost doubled. So this is such good news for those players who can start to transition into that professional era. And that's all we've ever wanted, to be able to be full-time athletes and showcase the sport in its best entirety.
And you mentioned the arenas there, but I think, 50% of games now to be played at major arenas across the country. How exciting is that?
That's what we're building. It's that, and that's, I think, our absolute unique opportunity in our sport. Like, it's end-to-end action for 60 minutes. But, I mean, we've got Manchester Thunder at the AO Arena playing Pulse on Sunday. They've sold just under 4,000 tickets. They've got a celebrity match beforehand. There'll be music, there'll be live acts, there'll be fashion. This is what we get to do and to create. But we know, again, looking at the data, and we always talk about this, whilst our sport is so big and we have a huge participation and membership base, we are predominantly women, and women still are not committing time and money consistently into being sports fans. But what we do know is that they want huge value for money. So for us, creating these wow factor experiences with great on and off court entertainment is what's going to drive them there. So having more arena events is where we need to go. And it also looks great for broadcasters. So if we, through the modelling that we're doing with the dispersion of talent on court, can create these amazing spectacles, then that is going to drive our audiences and drive our commercial value.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sports and we're on the podcasts rail.